Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text Number 58. Translation and prayer put by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand himself is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This statement is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, who knows who can postulate the verse which Prabhupada is referring to here in relation to today's Bhagavatam verse? Yes, anybody? Yes? Very good. And meaning? Yes, it's para upakara. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. Janma sataka karikara para upakara. When he was taking his birth, Bharata bhumite. Hoila manushya janma jara. Janma satika karikara para upakar. This is the devotee's para upakar. What is that para upakar? He's a preacher. He's always thinking of the welfare of others. This is the topmost welfare activity in we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita in many places you'll find this verse is quoted by the King Prataparudra also quoted this verse when he received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that verse? Spoken originally, sung by the gopis in the Gopi Gita. Those who go to Vrindavan every Kartik, if you wish to take advantage every evening, the devotees there, they sing the Gopi Gita, these beautiful songs of the gopis. And which is the verse which Mahaprabhu was most, overwhelmed by to such an extent. He broke all formalities and just showered his mercy on King Prataparudra without any restriction. Because he quoted this verse, or he sang this verse. What was that verse? Yes, who was that? Will? You said that was you? Yes, sing. The first two words, but you're correct. First line, okay. Tavakatam mitam tapta jivanam kapibiriditam karma shapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigvinantiye puridajanaha. This verse captured the heart of Mahaprabhu. This verse manifests para upakara, the feeling of the actual devotees, how they're only real. Sometimes also described how a devotee on his own account has no concern, materially speaking. He has no real cause of any kind of complaint or suffering. We may not be on that level, of course. We're still mixed to a certain degree. But a pure devotee, he has no concern filled with that. He's completely under the shelter of Krishna. Completely. He understands these truths. He's realized the truth. He has no more fear or anxiety in this world. So his suffering, just like we see Prahlad Maharaj, what was Prahlad Maharaj's suffering? He wasn't concerned about his own situation, right? Never mind. Whatever that may be. But I am concerned. Who is he concerned about? Pardon? His father, yes, well, sort of. But more so, even still. Huh? All the fools and rascals. Describe the fools. Of course, we don't, you know, that's true, but, you know, still, nonetheless, we're all in the same boat. Foolishly, we've turned away from Krishna, and we're behaving like rascals. The nature of this world. Instead of, interesting word, this word rasa. What does rasa mean? Pardon? Mellow? Mellow? Mellow fellow? Mellow, yeah. Mellow what? Marshmallows? Huh? What is it? Mellow what? Someone's just mellow, that doesn't necessarily mean it. They might be a rascal, but that doesn't mean they're in rasa. Mellow what? Mellow taste for, particularly, what do we normally refer to? You can have the perverted understanding, but relationship with Krishna, let's get, you know, the real essence of rasa. I mean, it can be applied elsewhere. But the real essence is our mellow, loving relationship with Krishna, our natural relationship with Krishna. Sweet relationship with Krishna. When you turn it around, it becomes asar, which means almost useless. The reflection of rasa. In this world, everyone's trying to enjoy this rasa, but they're getting nothing. They're getting asar, nothing. Useless. Disappointment. Frustration. This is the disappointment. This is the problem. People think that this is going to make us happy. The devotee knows that this is not. The active, sometimes people think charity work means to help those who are starving. To help those who, you know, underprivileged, right? Everybody honors or glorifies persons, everybody. Generally, when you do some welfare work like this, you feed the starving people, you help people in distress, in the material world. Everybody's praising, right? Well done, well done. Such a great saint. He must be a god or a saint or something. But that's not the real welfare work. That's not the real welfare work, which the gopis talk about. No, what is the real welfare work which will really bring happiness to people? Yeah, particularly. What is that? Do you know this verse? I mean, ladies, know this verse the gopis say? Words spoken by Krishna or topics about Krishna are the only... What? Only way of catching up on your sleep, falling asleep, getting bored. What is it? The only way for the only panacea, the only relief for those suffering in this material world? Is it the only relief? There's no other real relief. Everything else is just like a stop gap measure, you know? Painkiller. Temporary, not the real solution. You may move, may temporarily relief, but then again, because the cause of suffering is still there. The cause of suffering is our forgetfulness of Krishna, our feeling of separation from Krishna, seeing things separate from Krishna. We're in Maya. As long as one's in Maya, you can't avoid suffering. That's just the way the world is. It's just the nature of this world. So those who are actually realized, those who actually understand things as they are in relationship with Krishna, what do? They engage. They go and say, these messages should be spread widely all over the world. This is the greatest. They say this is the greatest welfare work, to spread these messages all over the world. This is the greatest welfare work. We may mix it, in a sense, by distributing prasadam, food for all, food for life, whatever it's called, different things we may do, fine. But it's all meant to be connecting others with Krishna. This is the real greatest welfare work. It's like a child. All of us have experienced, I'm sure. Sometimes a little baby gets lost, abandoned even sometimes. And the child is in total distress. Total distress, especially if they had a relationship with a mother and they're lost in the crowd. No one can satisfy that child. You can put a dummy in or whatever the child wants, a chocolate, an ice cream. You can cuddle the child. You can do what you like, but the child's not satisfied because it wants its mother. And until it's reconnected with its mother, it will not be satisfied. no matter what we give. This is the nature of the soul. No matter what we get in this material, you can go to heaven, you can go to hell, you can, wherever you are, you think, for a while at least, this is okay. And here and there, but ultimately nothing satisfies us. It all ends up in frustration and anxiety and pain and so on. It's the nature of the material world. So when you see someone, if you have knowledge of a subject, and you see somebody doing something which you know is going to cause them harm, just like those who are parents, you have to educate your children in a loving way. They may want to pick up broken pieces of glass or play around with matchboxes. You know, but the parents have to, you know, they have to be aware of what's good for the child, not just whatever the kid likes. That's not being kind to the child. We have to educate the child so that they learn to do things which are good, which should be done, and avoid things which will cause harm. Unfortunately, today we don't generally find very much, I'm not talking about the details, but in general, very much of an understanding of this. People sometimes write things like, you know, smoking kills. And then, you know, they go around smoking. Big advertisements for cigarettes on the airplane. They come around holding, pushing these packets of cigarettes on Ryanair in front of your nose. You like some cigarettes. You know, the cigarette packet says smoking kills. I don't know, it's strange. They know it's bad for you, but they still do it. So many things like that. Liquor and so many things. They're addicted because they're without the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. What can they do? So unless, what will we wouldn't be here today probably if some devotees had not gone out to try to give Krishna consciousness to others. We may not be Krishna conscious particularly, but at least we try endeavoring to assist the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Without that, who's going to come to Krishna consciousness? Of course, there's more to it. We also have to, you know, develop our own Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we think, well, this isn't getting me anywhere. But at the same, in this particular case, without devotees going out and preaching, distributing prasadam and distributing the holy name and distributing books or whatever other form of preaching that you're able to do, without that, how will this Krishna consciousness movement spread? The devotees, the pure devotees, they're parupakar. They're crying to see the suffering condition of the jivas or the conditioned souls. You read Prabhupada's poem, Vrindavan Bhajans, or other poems that he wrote in Vrindavan or when he arrived in New York or Boston. You'll see how much in their heart, they're crying for the conditioned souls. They're not just trying to do something to get followers, you know, or something like that. They're actually living out of compassion. They're the greatest welfare workers, those who try to connect others to Krishna, distributing the message of Krishna, not just feeding the dead body, not just trying to temporarily give a cigarette to somebody or some material thing just to satisfy their illusory desires, the perverted desire, but how to wake a person up so they don't do something which will cause suffering again. How to give Krishna consciousness to others. Everyone born in India, especially as a human being, Prabhupada says, can achieve the supreme success through the Vedic literature and its practical application in life. This is also equally important. It's not just giving Krishna consciousness, full stop, but helping others learn how they can apply this Krishna consciousness. Same thing in our own movement. It's not just, you can say, ramming it down everyone's throat. It's learning to see what it's like. You go to a doctor or a pharmacist, they have many medicines, but they have to understand what medicines are suitable for the particular person. They may be in a particular condition, and a certain medicine may not be suitable, even though that's the cure. So the expert doctor, he's supposed to know these things. So it's also the application of Krishna consciousness. Not just the philosophy or the knowledge itself, but how to apply it. Then you get vijnana or realization. And knowledge comes when we know how to apply it in our particular situation. application. When one is perfect, he can render service for the self-realization of the entire human society. Entire human society. This is the best way to perform humanitarian work. People may not appreciate it sometimes, like madmen probably say sometimes, do not appreciate it. The man's drowning in the ocean. Suddenly they become a little delirious, and they do not realize that you're coming there to help them. Sometimes they think you're coming, like sometimes animals are like that too. You're an animal's in a difficult situation, you go to try to help, the animal tries to fight against you. It's just the way their intelligence works. It becomes bewildered, perplexed, fearful. People are in fear, and always there's always this fear that, you know, harm and so on is coming my way. But a devotee is a real well-wisher. He's the feelings for all living entities. He's the greatest. Vanchakalpa Trubhishcha Kripa Sindhu. Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha. Patitanam Pavanevyo. Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. He's ocean of compassion. Kripa Sindhu. He's an ocean of compassion on the fallen souls. He cannot bear just to sit back and just think of his own welfare. Just, oh, I've got a comfortable position here, I don't need to worry about all that. That's for neophytes, or that's for somebody else. No. If one is actually a devotee, one cannot bear to live in this world and see others suffering. If one is an advanced devotee, so-called, then this will be the absolute mood of an advanced devotee. His heart is made of compassion. His heart is just feeling day, 24 hours, concern for the suffering of others. And he's doing everything he can to alleviate that suffering of others by giving spiritual connection, by trying some way or another to inject the message of Krishna consciousness into their hearts. So if we want to get Mahaprabhu's mercy, I'm going to read this. Prabhupada has given this verse, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manushya Jamajara Jamna Sankara Para Upakara. He's given us this verse. Let us read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This reminds me of a time in 1980 or 81. I was hitchhiking from Newcastle to Chaitanya College. Some of you may have seen, or who has anyone been to, or went to Chaitanya College? You were there, I remember. You were staying there for a while. Yeah. What is your name again? Pardon? Bhakti? Julian? Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda, that's right. Bhaktivinoda Prabhu. You were with cows? No. We didn't have any cows. You're from Scotland, huh? You were there for a while. So you remember. Anyone else who'd been there in Chaitanya College? Some of the older devotees from the British Yatra will obviously know. But it was, as you heard about it, it was a very big place. Very big. So I was staying in Newcastle in a very, well, in a derelict house, to be honest. And we were having a lot of fun up there trying to preach. But we had no money, so we had to hitchhike if we wanted to go anywhere. So I was hitchhiking down to Chaitanya College. And it was a long haul, dressed in a dhoti, and it was a wicked day. The rain was pouring down, and it was hard getting a lift. But eventually I ended up in getting one lift after another, and it was so blissful. Because when you dress like, everyone knows you're a Hare Krishna. If they pick you up, they expect you're going to start talking about Hare Krishna. Otherwise they won't pick you up. So you bet, you can rest assured that whoever picks you up is a good candidate to talk to. And it was fact. At least seven lifts got me as far as somewhere near Stratford-on-Avon. I don't know where it was. Some country lane in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. It was 11:30, and I got my final drop-off. And I was stood there, and it was getting very, very cold, and I wasn't prepared to stay out all night long in the middle of nowhere, and I was wondering what to do. There was nothing around, and it was, didn't know what to do. And a very small lane, it wasn't a highway, and so I thought, well, there's nothing I can do, it's up to Krishna now. It was an ecstatic day of feeling the reciprocation of the Lord. In this way, when we try to, even by hitchhiking like that, you're preaching because everyone sees you as you go on the highway. Even if they don't pick you up, they think of Krishna. And those who pick you up have no choice but to hear about Krishna. And many of them took books and all sorts of things, magazines and had books. So then all of a sudden, one car, I could see lights coming around the bend of this little lane, just not much bigger than the lane here in Lechmore Heath. And suddenly there was a car screaming by. It was a Volvo. Now, Bhaktivinoda Prabhu, you may remember that in 1980-81, Chaitanya College was full of Volvos. They had 108 Volvo cars. That was one of the spiritual goals of the society, was to get 108 Volvos. So when you crashed your car, you didn't die. That was the argument. That when the body had a crash, and that was the justification for having a Volvo car, because they're very safe. Anyway, a Volvo car came roaring around the corner, and went past me, and didn't knock me over, fortunately, or unfortunately, whichever the case may be. Some may think one way. And the car went past maybe 20, 30 meters and screeched to a halt. I thought, oh, this is my lucky day. This must be a devotee from Chaitanya College who happens to be somehow or another passing by this, you know, in the middle of nowhere lane on his way to Chaitanya College or something, but it wasn't. I walked to the car and it was not, it was a devotee, but not as we mean a devotee. It wasn't one of our 108 Volvos. It was another Volvo. So the door, I went up to the window, the window opened. It was a very, sophisticated, very well, I haven't gotten the word, but well dressed and very obviously a very high class lady was at the wheel, driving on the car on her own. Nobody else was in the car, and she stopped, and she happened to live near Chaitanya College in Pershore, near Pershore. So she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Hare Krishna Center, Chaitanya College, whatever, the village, I can't remember now, but whatever it was called." He said, "Oh, all right, jump in, I'll give you a lift there." He said, "I'll give you a lift." He said, "You're the first person in my life I've given a lift to." He said, "The only reason I'm giving you a lift is because I can trust you. I can tell by your dress, I can trust you," he said. "Because she's never picked anyone up before." So anyway, what happened after that was very interesting, because she took me there, and that was nice. We had a chat. And it reminded me of this verse. Some of you were born in India, of course. We're not. Bharat Varsh doesn't necessarily just apply to the little tract of land which we presently call India, where unfortunately, as Prabhupada mentions, directly or indirectly in these purports, unfortunately, the people of India today are not so fortunate in the sense. They've gotten the fortune. Just like Prabhupada says, you come to Krishna consciousness, this is the most fortunate thing that can ever happen. But sometimes, unfortunately, we drift away again. You've got the most fortunate thing, and you go back. Very unfortunate. There's many reasons for that. Wrongly, but in India, people have the greatest opportunity, and in many cases, they seem to be more interested in material advancement. Isn't it? Those who are from India? How many of you were born in India? Anyone born in India? Two or three of you were actually born there. The general push now is not to try to get the young people of India to become sadhus and to preach all over the world. Do people preach to you when you're a child like that very often? Do they teach you that at school? Do the politicians encourage it? Is it there all over the newspapers? What are they interested in? Economic development, right? Money, education, sense gratification, isn't it? I mean, that's what, as far as I see, and of course there are a lot of young people in India now who are taken to Krishna consciousness because some of them are preaching, just like here. But if no one preaches, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to end up in a mess, worse than the West. So this isn't the business. They have the greatest gift of all. But how many are coming out and preaching? How many are coming out and preaching to the real message of Krishna consciousness? Tavakatamitam taptajivanam. How many are coming out and preaching that? How many? Some now have built up the courage to come out and preach to those who have already become somewhat devotees. Even that they have a hard time. But how many are going out and actually changing the hearts of persons who are completely addicted and absorbed in Maya, causing their own unending suffering in the name of material advancement, material education, politics, social upliftment, etc., etc.? How many are doing that? Nobody. Only Srila Prabhupada practically is the only one. Of course, we're trying to assist him, all of us. The greatest service you can do to humanity, to yourself, the greatest, most pleasing thing to Krishna is to preach Krishna consciousness. Some way. It doesn't mean we're all the same. We all have our parts to play. But somehow or another to try to connect others to Krishna in whatever way we can. Even if it's just like that. Hitchhiking. People see you dressed in a dhoti. Not that we do that now. Times have changed, you can say, but the principle is the same. Just walking along, dressed in a dhoti, reminds people of Krishna, or dressed with tilak and sari. It just reminds people of Krishna. This is the greatest service one can do. Wearing tilak and neck beads and beadbag, and this is actually preaching, just walking along the street like that. And even if you don't say anything, people see, and they remember Krishna. And that's what we're here for, to remember Krishna. And there's so many, we could talk of millions of things. Having a stable family life is preaching Krishna consciousness, if Krishna's in the center. There's so many ways, you can go on and on and on. There's no limit to the ways that we can be a part of preaching Krishna consciousness and achieving or evoking the Lord's mercy. This movement is a preaching movement. This is not a movement just for comfort zone. Happy families. No, that's not the idea. Just to find a nice wife or a nice husband and have some nice children and live comfortably. That is not really the goal of our movement. Okay, that's certainly better than, out and out material lifestyle. But the real purpose of movement, every single devotee must be a preacher. And it doesn't mean you're a philosopher or a big book distributor, but we have to see what part we play in assisting Srila Prabhupada in alleviating the distress of the living entities and their ignorance, which is the root of their distress, by somehow or another connecting people with Krishna and thus purifying their hearts a little bit so that knowledge will naturally start to make sense. Can't expect the people immediately, even we, can't understand hardly any of the philosophy. What to speak of the people in general? So a gradual process of purification is required. So many things. Para upakara, this feeling of distress because of the suffering of others, is actually the sign that we're becoming a devotee. It's also the best way to get free of your mental anxiety, this idea that we have to satisfy our mind, etc., is to take the step, maybe a little bold, and go to the shop when you do your shopping with tilak on. Whew. It's a big risk. Somebody might say, "Yeah, it's a Hare Krishna over there. Yes, those guys are crazy. What's that stuff on your nose? Some birds hit. Birds hit. Some birds hit." "I'm never going to do that again. You won't believe what they said to me when I went again. Terrible. They told me I had bed sheets on." We're supposed to be getting off this platform, the false ego and the bodily platform. We're still thinking like that, doing, We should be making a little advancement. Take a little risk, and Krishna will surely help us. And it becomes really fun. So wonderful. For one, today is much easier. Things are much easier now than they've ever been, for in many ways, everywhere practically, for just being a devotee. people accept and they appreciate so much more now than ever before. I'll just read a few verses. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been describing this great tree of bhakti. The fruits of this great tree ripened and became sweet and nectarian. The gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed them without asking any price. Now, why I'm saying this is because I wrote a spontaneous article when, as soon as I arrived at Chaitanya College in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited. I wrote an article, and this was the essence. It was based on this seminar. I don't know exactly why. We'll come to that in a minute. But based upon these words of Mahaprabhu. To such an extent, and I'll tell you the secret here, was as I said, I was penniless. Penniless. Didn't have even £1 to my name. And I was penniless, and I got there, and I wrote this article. And Shivaram Raj, who at that time I didn't have a very close relationship with, he was so inspired, he gave me £40 on the spot. So it couldn't have been that bad. All the wealth in the three worlds cannot equal the value of one such nectarian fruit of devotional service. All the wealth in the world. And we could tell so many stories about that, and the wonderful realizations of Radhanath Maharaj tell. So many tell stories to illustrate this amazing thing about the value of one tiny speck, or one little fruit of devotional service, one little grain is incomparable. All the wealth of the universe cannot be even compared to it. There's no value. Not considering who asked for it, this is one of those beautiful verses, not considering who asked for it, nor who was fit and who unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. You should read this. Purports, we don't have time. Chapter 9 of the Adi Lila. Read it. Text number 29. Prabhupada says, the members, the only purpose of the preachers of the Sangatam movement must be to go on preaching without restriction. Everyone's fit, Prabhupada says. Everyone is fit to hear or take part in the Sangatam movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. Next verse. The transcendental gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed handful after handful of fruits in all directions. And when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. Mahaprabhu is so pleased when he sees any effort to spread this message to others in whatever way we can, going on Harinam Sankirtan. Such an easy and sublime way of spreading Krishna consciousness. What is the difficulty? So simple. We may be not so able to distribute books, or if Vishwambar Prabhu was here, he can inspire us in that way. But just go out and distribute prasadam. I haven't said that to one devotee. I think it was in London, actually. I don't remember exactly where. But this devotee was saying, Prabhupada, I am not attracted to deity worship. I can't relate to it. And I just have not, I'm always arguing with the devotees. I'm not sure if I believe in the philosophy. I'm not too keen on chanting Hare Krishna. And I'm definitely not going to distribute books. I said, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You don't have a good relationship with devotees. You're not into, don't like deity worship. You're not going Hare Nam, chanting. Why are you here? Well, to be honest, Prabhupada, I just like the prasadam. I love the prasadam. I'm an addict. Mahamaniac. Mahavishnumas. It was a long story. We were joking with him yesterday. And he said, I'm just a mahamaniac. He said. The fellow said, then fine. Just go out on the street. Take prasadam and just tell everybody this food is just amazing. Just take some of this food and eat it. It's wonderful. So he did. I don't know where he is now, anyway. But somewhere or another, preach. To give out Krishna consciousness. We've got, if we don't use what we've got, if you don't use it, you lose it. Don't be a miser. We've got something valuable, we don't use it, it's called a miser. We have the most valuable thing that exists. We don't use it, and we'll lose it. Lord Chaitanya thus addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service, and Prabhupada describes ISKCON as one of those branches. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of the others. Though a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on, all the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus, as they grow, they spread all over the world. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Of course, he can do everything, but he wants. Prabhupada said, this indicates all classes of devotees should combine together to distribute the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without consideration of time, place, or situation. All together. Old, young, black, white, this, that, no matter what our backgrounds are, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, everyone come together and just glorify the Lord. It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. Still, I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order, this is an order, it's not a suggestion. Mahaprabhu said, therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. Are you ready, young man? What's his name? He wants to go out and preach. What's his name? Paramahamsa. Parivrajakacharya. You're not beyond Parivrajakacharya yet. Maybe when you're Paramahamsa, Prabhupada said, you don't necessarily have to preach. We're not at that level yet, young man. That's a wonderful name. You're going to preach in China. China? From China? Korea. Almost the same. Preach in Korea. Make your career to preach in Korea. Give blessings. Lord Chaitanya, these prayer books you have to read. We won't read them. Lord Chaitanya is the, says, I am the only gardener. I do not, if I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? How many mahasweets can you eat? Quite a lot, I know, but you know, we do have our limits. By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute, the Lord says. Yes, distribute. He's trying to distribute it. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. One who has taken his birth, this is the verse, one who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activity for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. By his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and the next. I am merely a gardener. I have neither a kingdom nor very great riches. I simply have some fruits and flowers that I wish to utilize to achieve piety in my life. Although I am acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree. Anyway, he goes on, describing these glorious fruits of love of God. They're so delicious. And wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world become intoxicated. Please read this section whenever you get the chance. Wonderful section, chapter 9 of the Adi Lila and the purports. So inspiring if you want to be a member of this Krishna consciousness movement and preach. It's so wonderful. Anyone can preach. Everyone is eligible. Just have to learn what does that mean and how it applies to us. And it's just so wonderful to be able to go out and again and again, I mean, we're just an example, so a small example, you could go on millions of examples, but just last week we were in Amsterdam for the Rath Yatra, but the day before I felt the kirtan was even better, a small group of us from Rotterdam. We went, it was so ecstatic. We went to all down the Damstraat and through Dhamrak and all the different roads there, anywhere and everywhere you can go when you do Harinam. The Rathyatra cart can only go in certain places. So we're going everywhere, and people are just so into it. So enlivening. And we got to this park called Volger Park. No, it's not called Volger Park. Vondel Park. you were with us that day. You missed that, Harinam. Pardon? That night, that's right. You were there in the evening after we came from Volger Park. It used to be Volger Park. Yes, it was the place where Prabhupada said that these people are not fit to hear the message of Krishna consciousness. They just chant Hare Krishna. They could too intoxicated. So we went into this park on our way to a program in the evening. We wouldn't have gone there otherwise. And we came into the park, and the devotees had never seen this before. I was just telling the devotees about this. And all of a sudden, there they were. This strange species of life were hanging out in the park, all dressed in black, you know, black ground here, black this and black nails and everything black. And there they were, and I knew what was going to happen immediately, because this is at least the 10th time I've encountered the same thing in different cities. Well, all of a sudden, one of them comes running towards you. Now, you might think he's coming to hit us or something, but he's not. He's, yeah, yeah. And then within 2 minutes, the 50 of them are all dancing and jumping up and down, spinning around. Haribo! Haribo! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! They're going wild. For 30 minutes dancing around like this in the park. All the devotees never seen this thing before. They didn't know what is this. They were shocked. But it's everywhere. There's you know, you can say these perhaps are the most unfit people for Krishna consciousness, but Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana. We just have to go there and see what the Lord arranges. Amazing. It's like on book distribution, you know. You go into strange places sometimes. It's amazing what the Lord arranges, isn't it? He's got his plans, you know. Always. We just have to be a limb. Just take our part, play our part, and the Lord will work through us to connect others to Krishna. We're not doing anything. We're just volunteering. You have your volunteers here. Yeah. Everyone here, I understand now, is a volunteer. Good to know that everyone's volunteering. So we all want to become volunteers as an instrument to Prabhupada, so that this mission can spread. We're off now to Paris. I've got to leave right away, actually, to catch the plane to Paris tomorrow. Early Saturday morning, the date is, after 22 years of living in, I won't say what, are moving to their own property in Paris. On Saturday. Saturday morning, early morning, they're moving to their property. It's a very big event. Although this is not a big, this is a soft move. The main event will be on Jamastami. But it's still very significant that they're actually moving into their own house, two houses. Quite nice. You may have seen the pictures. So hopefully things will start to pick up again in Paris. It's a great place for preaching. Fantastic. It's nowhere like Paris, practically, for Harinam Sankirtan. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari 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 Bol.